Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, December 12th. Hi, Tori.
Hello, Sam.
And we have a full show for you guys. Fascinating show. We're going to have a guest in a few minutes. He's going to come in. He's not here yet. But we're going to talk about something related to radio. Do you remember Casey Kasem?
Oh, yes. I used to listen to him in the summers, The Countdown.
Yes.
Oh,
American,
yeah, the radio.
Top 40.
Yes, of course.
And that was like the best show ever in the, I mean, in the 70s. And you said you still listened to it when you were growing
when
up?
When I was growing up, we listened to it at summer camp. And, well, we that's so sad. I feel like a very old person. No, but we would listen to the top 40s when we did our jobs and our getting ready for the day. Uh-huh. And he was like, Casey, you know, a little bubblegum sounding voice. He was great.
Yeah. I know. He had the best voice. Yeah. And then Scooby-Doo, you know. But so the reason I brought it up is because our guest, I guess, did a documentary.
Oh, wow.
On his last days.
I know. I heard that the last days were terrible.
Right?
In terms of he wasn't conscious, but the family was fighting over his body. It got really bad.
Really?
Yeah, very, very bad.
Wow. So we're going to hear it from a reliable source, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's also a friend of the station. He's been here a few times. He's a colleague of Alan Cardoza.
Oh, wow.
Who's been here a few times.
Yeah.
So this should be exciting. How was your weekend, Tori?
Fun. I went out to, you know, get my drink on and maybe like make out with my husband a little bit, and I fell asleep afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how cool
is
that to
make
out with your husband?
Oh, yeah, but I fell asleep. It was like one beer, two beers. I had like a shot and a beer, and I was like, good night, everybody.
Well, at least he knew he gets another chance,
yes,
right?
We're going to take two.
Exactly.
It's take
not
two.
Like he just picked you up at the bar, and
no.
You were like, oh, my God, that would have been the worst thing.
No,
right?
Good night.
Someone
I'm
falling
out.
Asleep on
couldn't
you.
Couldn't do it. Man, it was a cozy little bed, and my dog crawled in, and I don't know. It was nice. And I was like, good night, everyone.
Awesome.
Well, but yeah. Anyway, wild weekend on this end. How about you? How was your
right.
weekend?
How was my weekend? Oh, Tori, how was my weekend?
Dun, dun, dun.
I've had like a very eventful weekend.
Yes.
If you guys want to find out what's in the headlines today.
If you're under a rock.
If you want to find out what's in the headlines today, you'll find that LA Talk Radio is in the headlines.
We're everywhere.
And this is... totally not planned. We were just sort of like thrust.
Blindsided, thrusted.
Into the limelight,
yeah.
Into the spotlight. And I'm not sure I want to be famous, Tori.
Yeah, now you feel a tinge of what it's like, right? It's not good.
I don't know that I want to be famous. I think I'm happy with the audience we have.
Yes.
And it's good because when you become that big and everybody sees you, every move you make, every word you say and every word you write is analyzed.
It sounds
and
like that's every breath you take.
Exactly.
And it is. And I think nowadays it's even worse. I think being famous when you were Clark Gable could have not been better, right?
Exactly.
But now it's like freaking trolls, and it's it is. Every move you make is on face. It's everywhere.
And it's everywhere.
You can't do one thing. You cannot
everything
do one thing.
Everything is viral. Mm-hmm. You know, I realized my privacy settings. I never even paid attention to them.
I know,
them
and
before.
Then it's when you never pay attention
now
until
I do.
It's too late, right?
Right. Now I do, but wow. But that's on my personal one.
Mm-hmm.
I limited it only to friends now,
mm-hmm.
because you never know where this is going to take. But for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, just go to our Facebook page, LA Talk Radio, and you can see what's going on. We put up a statement, and it's become sort of like a controversy because of a situation with one of the hosts. And, you know, I've had to deal with it as the head of the station.
Sure.
And I've never dealt with anything like this before.
This is unheard of for you to have to do.
Yeah, and it's very controversial, too. So I've been, like, bombarded with emails and phone calls. I mean, in the hundreds of people on both sides of the political spectrum, everybody taking sides, calling us names, criticizing us. And I'm not sure I like that.
I know. You know? It doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't.
No, yeah.
And then you look at the headlines and... they're supposedly based on our statement. And yet, if you go to our statement and go read any of the stories you can read today on Billboard, Huffington Post, I think New York, the Daily News, mm-hmm. right? Billboard Magazine, The Hollywood Reporter. These are just places that I've seen. Fox wow. News, Yahoo News.
Jeez.
Everywhere, front page. I'm like, I can't believe this.
That's, you know, it is a slow news day. And I was reading my New York Times and they had a full article on seesaws.
Really?
In the front page of
so
the
maybe
section.
It was a slow
kind
day.
Of a slow day. I was like, damn. I mean, and it shouldn't be.
It's
like
a Saturday.
Lot did not, like, there's stuff happening with Russia I want to know about. And it was like, seesaws are dangerous.
Right.
So it might have been that it's on the front page. But yeah, she said some things that are controversial and Sam had to take care of it. And I think it puts a personal toll because you were not,
prepared for
no, it. No. And it came, and I think we interviewed her like 2 days ago.
Right.
So it's not like we were friendly with her, you know?
Exactly.
So it's just a...
And it's unfortunate, but I'm not going to get into the details because... no, and I'm saying this to our listeners because I don't know how to handle this, so I'm going to talk to professionals today.
Best thing you can do.
You know? I don't know. Just get some advice from people that know what's going on
and know how
to deal with these things, right?
My dad always says, if you're the smartest person in the room about an issue, you're in the wrong room.
Find people
that are smarter than you who can handle this to talk to.
Exactly. Who do this every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean, when it gets to there, and this is for anyone, if you got in a situation, like for instance, my husband and I got in a really bad fender bender, and you got to be careful, and he was telling me this, you got to be careful with if it gets even a little bit over your head with a situation, she's acting fishy or there's no insurance, talk to someone that knows this world. Get involved with a lawyer, find somebody, because it can really help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't do this alone, really.
Yeah, that's what I think. And you're right. You have to admit you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And I feel I don't want to do the wrong thing.
Sure, because you could really, there's reputation, your whole heart is into the station.
Exactly. It's more than just a business, you know?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, this is my life, and I've made the station so people can come here, say whatever they want.
Sure.
I never censored anybody on the station.
Right.
People can say whatever they want. And that's what this station is about. But we were just dragged into something that had nothing to do with us. Really. I mean, this thing took place
after there was an interview
here.
After the interview, this was on a social media page. So it was nothing really said. I mean, things were controversial that she said. But the bad things, the really bad things, were off of the station. So it's sad that this got dragged through because it was not part of the station.
Yeah, you know, but they made it a story about us. And so I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that. But, you know, all I can say is I really, I mean, the passion behind all the stuff that people have sent, I mean, there've been people that are thankful, too. You know, it's not just bad things, but you don't know if they're being thankful is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. So, but that's it. So I'm not going to say anything about it anymore because everybody's probably going to scrutinize everything I said already. But
you're just being honest about your feelings, and it must be.
Yeah, this is how it affected me.
It's confusing, and it's a turbulent time. That's just a real personal story for you. Yeah,
yeah, it is. You know, and we'll see. You know, maybe it'll turn out for the best, and I hope so for us and for everybody involved. Because it's not only us that were affected. You have friends involved here on different sides. That have been affected.
And it could not be, I was telling you earlier, it could not be a more polarizing time. It could not have happened in a more, you know, touchy, charged situation.
Right.
No one's in the gray area.
People
Everyone is
angry,
one left
you know?
Or right. You are not in the middle on this. She said some words and you either agree, disagree, or react, or don't react. So it's like a yes or no here.
Yeah.
So
and that's
hard.
What I'm saying. You wouldn't even want to see the emails I got. I mean, people... And both sides so hateful.
Both sides.
So, yeah, on both sides.
Yeah,
I'm really serious.
Yeah, you couldn't win in this one, to be honest.
But I'm collecting all the emails rather than dumping them because
do not lose paperwork.
Might come in handy. Yeah.
Do not lose paperwork.
Yeah.
Always keep a paper trail. But yeah, and it's confusing to everyone because it didn't happen sort of here, so we're a little confused about it. But we're just relating our personal feelings about it.
Yeah.
It's all we can do until we talk to someone professional.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's that for now, folks. We're still waiting for our guest who's going to be here in a few minutes. In the meantime, I guess the Golden Globes, the nominations came out.
La 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 Land.
Right? I mean, you said it was probably going to make a lot.
Thank you.
You did say that.
It's a wizard of a tour. No, it's supposed to be, everybody has seen it, from this really hardcore dude to this really girly girl on Facebook. We're like, it is just magical.
Really?
So if these two people can both think it's amazing.
So maybe I should see it.
I
even though I don't like musicals, right?
You take an edible, you go and see, you love it. I think it should be fun.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's just well done.
Yeah.
And they weren't even supposed to be the main leads, thank God. They were. It was written for them, but they were both off for scheduling reasons. And they were going to get Hermione and Emma Watson and the guy, Miles Teller from Whiplash, who, I don't know, I don't know if they have chemistry.
That's true.
But I know Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling have chemistry. You know what I mean? They've been in movies before, two movies before. So
that's
it's a great, great, great little story. And they both should be up for Oscars, apparently.
Yeah.
In the wind.
Now, what do you do? I mean, does either one of them have a significant other right
now? They both
now?
Do.
They both
Eva Mendes, who is beautiful and just had a baby, is with Ryan Gosling.
Oh, okay.
And Emma Stone has been dating Andrew Garfield, who played Superman. Spider-Man. So every single one of them in the couples are in the limelight.
Right.
So they must have a better understanding, but man, those two, I sort of want them to get, no, I mean, of course,
right?
I'm happy
that's
for them,
the thing.
But everybody sort of wishes for them, yeah?
Yeah, think about their partners, how they must feel.
I think, you know, you're with Ryan Gosling, 364, you know, if you're Eva Mendes, you're doing fine.
Yeah, right?
but I think there is a part of the audience that's like, just get it together.
Right. I don't know how I'd deal with it, though, if I had someone like Emma Stone and she had chemistry with Ryan Gosling for the whole world to see.
I know.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I know it.
I don't know about fame, you know?
I know. I think that's the title of the show.
Yeah, right?
Fame question mark?
Exactly. Do you really want it?
Yeah, especially in these days.
In these days.
I mean, Katharine Hepburn
was
great.
People want blood, you know?
They want to see you squirm. And I remember, I know people are going to say this is weird, but Kim Kardashian, when the whole thing with the robbery happened, she went off Facebook, and Chrissy Teigen, who's really great on Twitter and is a supermodel and John Legend's wife, very outspoken, said, yeah, I talked to Kim and we decided the fans that love us would just as much post our bloody pictures of us dead the next day.
That's true.
And
right?
there it is. I mean, that's what the culture is like. That sack skewering is the only thing that gets people off. It's like Hunger Games, you know?
Yeah.
What can we watch that is that much drama?
Wow.
So it's pretty sick.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I said a million times before, the internet and especially social media is like an amplifier,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, suddenly it's like the whole world hears what you have to say. And when it's controversial, my God, viral, no problem.
Yeah.
You know?
And it will die down. I mean, it will go away within an instant.
Eventually.
I'm from D.C. I know they would be so popular.
Right?
And then the next day, everyone would go, who?
You know?
Like when Chandra Levy was found and everyone was talking about her, then 9/11 happened. No one remembered anything about
that
story.
Right?
So it will go away, but it gives you a taste.
Yeah.
And it's a bit bitter.
Exactly.
Isn't it? It's a bittersweet.
And maybe that's part of my destiny in life. You know?
Yeah, maybe this was meant to happen.
I have wanted to be famous and stuff. And maybe that's a sign for me. No, you are not ready.
No. Or will you ever be in this time, you know?
I don't know. Maybe I will one day, but I can't handle controversy. I can't handle not being liked, you know?
It's hard.
People
it's the worst thing in the world, not being liked.
Yeah.
If we're being super honest, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But I'm learning. But yeah, I think you maybe take this as, you know, I'm studying Buddhism and it's all about take these moments that really teach you something as guru moments.
Yeah,
so maybe this was to teach you. I mean, it was horrible for a lot of people involved, but maybe for you, this is a teaching moment, a teachable moment.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe make me a better person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Somehow you got to take the lemon and make lemonade, right?
Add vodka.
Vodka too.
What? That would be good. Vodka and lemonade.
Vodka and lemonade would be
little
good.
Picnic drink. Yeah. So they found a new Leonardo da Vinci. They
really?
Discovered this.
Are you serious?
Can you imagine this? This is an art auctioneer in France. Mm-hmm. He's going through just 14 or 15 papers from a guy in France whose dad was a bibliophile and collected things. He's going through, and he stops on one, and on the back is scientific inventions of candlelight written left to right backwards, just as Da Vinci did it in left hand. And he turns it over and it's a Da Vinci.
Wow.
And he was like, excuse me. And of course he tells the Frenchman, you just made millions of dollars because they're going to have it auctioned for museums or whatever. And the guy said, oh, I care about more things than money. Who the hell are you?
Exactly.
Unbelievably.
Wow. But how people always find these things.
Incredible.
Right?
Incredible. St. Sebastian. It's a beautiful drawing. It's in. It's now being framed in a Renaissance painting. But they show the back. And in the back is the candlelight drawing of Da Vinci. And you can recognize the hand that you've seen. And he writes in a mirror image of itself.
Oh.
And he goes left to right. I mean, he wrote brilliantly. So it was the same scribe.
Mm.
So, yeah. Very interesting.
Very interesting. How much do you think something like that would
be worth? Didn't go for as much as I thought. It's going to go, they said, for like $15.8 million.
That's true. It could be more, right?
I thought, what was your instinct?
Like 30 maybe?
I for sure was a 30 to 50.
Right.
15? I almost think I could buy it. But no, I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
15.8?
Because it is a lot of money. Deal, right?
Yeah, it's a Da Vinci, and it's with scientific works on the back of candlelight, studying the measurement of candlelight.
Yeah, there's only one.
Yeah.
There's only one in the world.
Come on.
Yeah, people could surely offer more.
Come on, people.
Right?
I mean, do I hear 16 million?
If you have like at least $1 billion, what's 30
million?
And
then, speaking, that's a great transition. Bill Gates and a bunch of billionaires are put together $1 billion for clean air research.
Really?
$1 billion.
And that's private money.
Private money because they don't think the government's going to do it, which they won't. So it's fantastic. $1 billion.
Very good.
Say it and it doesn't sound like it's $1 billion.
Right?
Yeah.
It is a lot.
Of their own money. So it's fantastic. Yeah. So that was announced today.
Yeah.
So Bill Gates, man.
I know. Well, Oh, here we go.
We have a new thing. Yeah, but Bill Gates is making a name for himself for human rights.
Yeah.
He eradicated 5 diseases already in Africa.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like the guinea worm infestation. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Wow. Well, he's done a lot in his life, man, let me tell you.
Yeah.
If we can contribute just as a fraction
man.
Of what he's done, you know. But yeah, you talk about $1 billion, you know. I mean, think. To a million is like a lot, right?
Exactly.
A million is a lot. It's hard to count to a million. Yeah, so think 1,000 times that.
Can you imagine?
And people talk about billions like it's nothing.
Right, and I always picture that duck that would dive into the gold coins. You know, the duckwing duck? Or I'm going to be upset, I don't know it. The cartoon, and in the beginning of it, he would dive into his gold coins. Uh-huh. I'm like, man, that's like $1 billion. Imagine.
Huge amounts
of money.
Yeah, I know. But... yeah, Logan, you can come in anytime.
Right on.
Okay, hello. So our guest is walking in.
Hello, and guest.
We're excited. You can have a seat over there. And we're being joined. We introduced you a little bit before, but your name is Logan Clark. Welcome to the show, Logan.
Woohoo!
Hello.
Go ahead. Your mic is on.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for coming.
Oh, he's got a great voice.
He does. He's got a great voice to go with the attitude.
Yes.
Logan is a serious type of person. At the same time, he's fun as well. Watch out for that. Just pull the whole thing. Yeah, the microphone. There we go.
Yeah.
So, Logan, thank you so much for joining us. Did you make a long drive this morning?
From Huntington Beach.
Huntington Beach. Nice. That's a drive.
Yeah.
That's a drive, folks.
That's an hour and a half.
So much for... really? Whoa. Well, thank you for joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're also going to be on the next show coming on right after us, which is Answers for the Family.
Right.
You know Alan Cardoza.
For a long time.
Yes. And maybe he'll get a chance to come in here the last few minutes.
Sure.
We'll find out about you guys together. But so you've been on the show before. Meet Tori.
Hello.
Tori, this is Logan.
Hello.
Nice. Usually we introduce before the show, but Logan did have to take a long time on the freeway, so so we have to make the introductions now. So Logan does a lot of things, but first let's talk a little bit about this thing with Casey Kasem, right? Because this is something that just came out. Right, you had it what, on Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday night they had a documentary called Autopsy.
Wow.
Casey Kasem.
It was all I know is I've read details and it was just a gruesome way to go. I mean, he wasn't conscious, but it was just awful.
Absolutely. He was conscious for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, a lot.
So he was aware. It was just a family fight. Is that what it was?
It was a huge family fight.
Yeah.
For 20 years it went on. And she kidnapped him.
Yeah, there was a kidnapping of the body,
the wife
right?
kidnapped him out of Santa Monica, out of a hospice.
Right.
And she kidnapped him out of there and took him on a bizarre trip across country and took him to Vegas.
Whoa.
Isn't this crazy?
With sores all over him. I mean, the sores had all been cleaned up. What she did, she basically killed him.
Wow.
Really?
He was at the very end of his life. I remember that.
Yeah.
So tell me something. So you're part of that film, right? You're part of that documentary?
Yeah, I'm the investigator for the Kasem kids, the children. I'm the one that found Casey Kasem after he was kidnapped. I found him in Washington.
Washington State.
Washington State.
Okay.
And then everybody, with the evidence, everybody went to the courts up in Washington and got Casey back to Carrie, his daughter. And she took over all of the medical for him. And that's when Gene Kasem came out and threw hamburger meat. She threw it at, she threw it at Carrie and everybody. And
it got
said,
so wild.
Yeah, in the name of King David, I throw meat to the dogs.
Who is this woman?
This is crazy. And is this his second wife?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. So how did you follow? First of all, you so cool that he's an investigator. I was like, you should be an investigator with this voice.
No, he is.
I know. I'm so excited to hear that. So did you follow? If I remember right, you had to sort of follow the trail, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah, no one knew where he was.
So how did you find him?
Well, we were marking. I had a lookout for all private planes. I figured they'd go by private plane because he was so sick.
Right.
But they didn't. They went by car 5 hours to Vegas. And then got three hotel suites in Las Vegas and stayed for 3 days. Casey was dying.
Oh,
they put Casey in one of the suites. They didn't even stay with him.
Oh, my God.
Really?
They had the nurses with him. Oh. Yeah, it was just terrible.
Whoa.
It's horrible.
But because of the documentary, I believe I can get the case reopened.
Oh, wow.
And go out try to prosecute her.
Right.
Wow.
So now, so you are on the side of the daughter?
Yes, the family.
Okay.
So that's the family. And the son.
So it's a family against that wife.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
How was she not prosecuted already?
The police don't like to prosecute. District attorneys are politicians.
I see.
They don't.
It's all political.
Yeah, they don't want to take on a high-profile case like this.
I see.
In the chance they might lose it.
I see.
Because it's too high-profile, they'll be embarrassed, and it's hard to prove elder abuse. But I had all the proof. I still have all the proof.
My God.
But we didn't have an autopsy. We had an autopsy, but we didn't have a pathologist who would say, this is how Casey was before she kidnapped him.
And this is after.
And this is after the 3.5 weeks he was with her.
Right.
And now he's dying.
Right.
Could she be charged for kidnapping?
I want her to be.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't consenting to anything, I bet.
And elder abuse and financial fraud. And this is, I've been an investigator for 40 years, and this is one of the most evil women I have ever chased in my life.
And it's a chase. That's the crazy thing. This was a real, I remember reading about it every day. Yeah. They didn't find it. He's gone. We don't know where he is. It was like missing. Casey Kasem's missing.
And everyone's like, they got to Washington State and they got a plane from Vegas. And when they landed in Washington State, Casey was in such bad shape that the driver, the ambulance driver, meet the plane. And the ambulance driver started to head to the hospital. You know, a guy's going to the hospital. He's dying. He was in that bad of shape. They went to a friend's house.
Oh, my God.
Propped him up in a chair in front of a picture window so that everybody could see him.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's shit. That is fucked up. Excuse my language.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
That is outrageous.
This
it
is
really
one
is,
evil
right?
bit.
She should be absolutely prosecuted. Yeah. That's disgusting.
And hopefully now we can.
Yeah.
It's hopefully now we can get them.
These days you do these documentaries and it turns into, it really does.
It does, yeah.
Right?
You could do them, yes.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, is that sort of the reason for the documentary?
The making of a murder,
yes.
They did this on purpose to get more, you know, why hasn't anybody done anything?
Yeah,
I've been screaming for 2.5 years.
Wow.
So was the family.
Wow. It's, yeah, Making a Murder, which was so popular, they just released The Son.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. The documentary really got someone out of prison.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is the new wave.
And sometimes
of doing
they'll
it.
Put guys in
like Jinx, right? Like
and
Robert Durst.
Sometimes it gets them out. Documentaries now, because of the internet, because it can be so spread so far. Before, when there were only 3 or 4 channels, somebody would do a documentary.
No one
would watch. Odds of anybody seeing it.
Right.
Or seeing it a second time.
Right.
Now
true.
You can see it 100 times.
100 times and everybody can see it.
Yeah.
So tell us, how can people really watch it if they miss the broadcast? On
It's on Reels, R-E-E-L-Z, Reels channel.
I was the host there for 3 years.
Oh, really?
I met my husband there. We both worked at Reels channel.
Yeah, it's on Reels channel. It was on at 12:30 this morning. I don't know how many other times it will be on, but it's called Autopsy. Casey Kasem. If you go to Google and put that in, then it'll be there. I'm trying to get it on my website, too, which is loganclark.com. And Clark has an E on the end of it. C-L-A-R-K-E.
Oh, okay. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, so if they go to LoganClark.com, we should be able to get it. We're going to upload it onto ours, too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. So now, the interesting thing is, were you like a fan of his anytime when he was like a star?
Oh, I listened to Casey all the time.
Who did, man? I love him.
He was so big.
Especially during Vietnam.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
Closer to the mic, Logan.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting farther
from
the mic.
Yeah, I listen to him all the time. His voice was
wonderful.
This is Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
It's like right down there.
And he was sort of cheesy, but he made it very calming. He was very like Americana to me.
He was, right?
His voice was very nostalgic of a time.
He was an icon.
Yeah,
and for his life to lend that in that way is just
And that's in a period when radio was really, really popular too, you know?
DJs.
Yeah, that's where we got our music from.
And even I was, I mean, that's crazy. I was listening to his top 40s. I guess he would do it on Saturdays or Sundays.
Yes.
So it's like it just traveled generation to generation. That guy.
That's right. Yeah. And then Ryan Seacrest picked it up.
Yeah.
Or, and then Rick Dees started doing a competing show and all that stuff, right?
Yep.
So, but all in all, I think he's left a lot, a big mark on American culture.
Yeah. He would tell stories of each song and he would dedicate. Remember, he'd always be great storytellers. Coming up to Helen. Yeah. For Maria in Huntington.
So you see, shows like that, I think, brought people together, you know? Yeah. And today we don't have that.
You have Twitter.
It's like radio today. It's like radio is just playlists.
And think about FDR. You know? He did fireside chats because he didn't want to be on television because he had, first of all, was new and he was handicapped, but he would do radio because everyone had to literally gather around the radio, and it was a time to bring people together.
Right.
And the country was so in despair. So, you know, that's kudos to him. It's just the same thing, bringing you all together.
Yeah.
They had great radio shows then, too.
Yeah.
Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen, the Dummies. You know, the ventriloquist?
Yeah. Oh, that was no, I didn't know those.
My dad listens to the 40s, like, detective stories, the radio ones.
Who knows what
Beyond Man's
Mind.
Yes, great.
The Shadow.
Whoa. That was great. Yeah. I want you to introduce every time I come into a room, this is Tori Shulman.
I know. I've been getting all the voiceovers from the wrong guy.
Yeah,
right?
This guy has it. He's smoky.
I did voiceovers for so long.
I'm sure you have. I mean, you know, because obviously everybody must tell you.
Yeah.
Now, at what point did you really get this voice in your life?
Because I was a MC during I did USO. I did the Bob Hope shows.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And so I started doing MCing shows when I was 14, 15 years old with my mom. And you practice. You take a glass, almost like a, I'm not the type of a glass. It's got to be a short.
Like a whiskey glass?
Yeah, like a whiskey glass. And you talk into it. You put it up to
your
mouth.
Oh, wow. So you get
you
like
talk
that.
Into the... Well, the glass makes your voice come back to you.
So you can hear it.
You don't sound like you... What you hear your voice... When you hear your voice on a tape recording, most people go, that's not my voice.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
Because that's how we hear you.
Exactly. Or
you
even
don't
in
hear
our
yourself.
Headphones now.
You don't hear yourself like we do.
Right.
And so you do that with your voice. You talk into a glass... And your voice will come back.
Whoa.
And you'll hear it the way other people hear it.
That's true, yeah.
And you can raise it and lower it. But once you do it, and if you're doing MCing, so that the guy in the 50th row, I would do them on runways, and there'd be 5,000 GIs on a runway.
Yeah.
And you're talking, you got to be loud enough so everybody can hear you. In those days, we didn't have huge microphones.
Yeah, you just had to sort of project. Yeah.
Right.
But then when you do that, the rest of your life, everybody's going, oh, I'm right here, Logan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Hey, Dad, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's like,
going on?
Go to your room.
Here?
Yeah. But that's like Shakespearean actor. You know, you had to go out to the huge crowd. That's so funny. But have you ever, Michael Connelly, do you ever read Michael Connelly? He does her,
he's
the Detective
very
Bosch.
Popular, but I never read him.
Oh, man, you'd be a great Bosch.
Bosch.
There's a TV show on him now, but he's this grovelly, great detective. And they always have the voiceover guy. I'm like, that's not Bosch.
Yeah.
I need you as my Bosch.
But I mean, they need your voice like in a Star Wars movie for a character, you know. or something like that, you know, where
well, anybody
like,
that wants me to do some announcement.
Logan I'm Clark with an E.
If you need the voice of God, you get, totally. Get Logan.
Totally. What a cool God that would be. That's great.
So as fun as Logan is, tell us a little bit about what you do, Logan, because or what you've done, because you say to people a detective investigator, they don't know what that is. Tell us what it is that you've done, really.
And how did you go from emceeing to that, to detective? Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I was a newspaper reporter in Hawaii. I was emceeing shows, and I was also a newspaper. I was one of the youngest newspaper reporters in the country, and I had my own column. And I wanted to be an investigative reporter. And I saw an ad in the papers for a detective school. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that'll make me a good investigative reporter. And so I went to the school, graduated top of the class. And 1 week after graduation, they called me up at my house. And they asked me to come back to the school. They had a detective agency also. And I went back. And they said, this is the president of Chrysler Motor Corporation. And we want you to go undercover. Now, I'm 18 years old.
Whoa.
Mod Squad is the biggest show on the air.
Damn. Yeah.
And they said, there's a $500,000 a year embezzlement going on in
somewhere.
Chrysler. And we want to put you in and just work you through the company, and you find it. Find out how they're doing it.
Whoa.
And I'm 18, and I went, wow, like, you mean Mod Squad, kind of? And they went, well, yeah, sort of. I said, far out, man. When do I get a badge and a gun? And the guy said, you'll never get a badge and a gun. You're going undercover, you idiot. You don't have a gun. You don't have a badge. If you got a gun and a badge, you're not undercover.
Yeah, he's got it backwards. Yeah.
Exactly. Like James Bond. He's totally. Always in the open and always the most handsome
yeah,
man.
Yeah, where's my exactly. BMW? Martini.
A spy
yeah.
is yeah. supposed to be like undercover, you know, not like to get attention.
Come but on. I broke up the ring. It took me 6 months.
I was going to say, I thought it would take you years. It took you 6 months?
6 months.
And you just ingratiated yourself with people and talked to people?
Yeah, I started buying all the stolen equipment. And I drove a car to work that was a real shitty, on purpose, car, tires were balding.
Wow.
And so I got to know guys, drinking with them, partying with them after work. And then they said, man, you really need tires for that car, bro. You know, I can't afford tires.
Right.
Hey, man, we work at Chrysler.
Oh, my God.
So I bought cars, and then I'd make sure I would take the engine and tweak it so that it, you know, was missing. Was firing. They would get me
get
sparks.
Parts
They'd
stuff.
Get me new carburetors. It was 1968.
Whoa.
You know, they get the
did you guys like carburetor. Had, I mean, so at that time, I mean, how did you document it? You actually had to catch them hot-handed because there was no video and stuff, right?
Well, I didn't have to catch them. I was getting them to sell all the stolen stuff to me.
Right. No, but later, didn't they have to get caught and stuff?
Oh, yeah. When you get them caught. But you do that by tracing the serial numbers of what's bought. And what they were doing was, it was Hawaii.
Right.
So Chrysler was sending everything in by ship. And so what they would do is that the bill of lading, I found out that it went all the way up to the accountant. Because I told them after
it's always the accountant.
after I figured out what was going on, I said, why aren't you guys missing all these carburetors, all these $150 tires in 1968?
Wow.
$150 tires.
Damn.
And I said, why aren't you guys missing all of this? And I said, it has to be in the bill of lading. They're bringing in, you know, all tons of cars and tires and all the spare parts and everything else. But by the time it gets offloaded, they've deducted hundreds of pieces. Mm. And now they have them sort of like in storage. So they got, this is for Chrysler.
And this is
for me.
Right.
It's like they fell off the boat.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Fell off the bus.
And so if you don't see it on the bill of lading when it comes in, you don't miss it when it gets sold.
Right. Yeah.
Then it's gone. And then it was just fun. I went nuts. I became a thrill slut. I would say, okay, this is what I want to do.
I want to
catch bad guys.
Were you allowed to tell girls that you were undercover, or could we use this in any way? Because that is a panty dropper right there.
I got to be honest. Yeah, I used
at 18.
I used to tell girls, I go, hey, listen, I've got a stakeout. You want to go with me? You know, I've got to do this. I had no case.
Right.
I have no case. I'm off for the weekend.
You're eating in and out watching an empty house.
I'd take a girl into some place, and I'd say, okay, there they are, you know, and we'd follow them. Just pick out a couple.
Random
or
people.
A guy, and just follow them. And it's amazing what you can do, how you can create a story. It almost shows you how someone gets put in jail and they haven't done anything wrong. Because they just were at the wrong place. And
at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and I would always tell them, I'd go, oh, they're walking this way. I'm going to put my arm around you. I swear to God, I would do this. I'm 18, 19. I got a badge. Right? I'm going, hey, I'm Mudsgott. And I'm doing these and I, of course, then I'd have to kiss the girl so that we don't look suspicious.
Right.
What'd you do that for? Why? I was like, we could get killed.
It's like George here. Costanza. That's my move.
Exactly.
That's my move.
Yeah.
That's my move.
Yeah, it was terrible, but I did it. That's it was
funny.
Great.
Yeah.
They would get so excited. Here they come. Okay, we gotta go.
I mean, you say detective. I'm already like, yeah, I want to sit next to that guy. Yeah, that's so just the stories alone. The stories alone are fantastic.
No, they are. But you know what? We don't even know the gist of it because there's also a serious part to what you do, and I want to get to that. You fighting the bad guys.
Yes.
And you finding the bad guys. And
we've rescued over 300 kidnapped women and children from all over the world from human trafficking. Alan and I are the co-founders of the International Human Trafficking Task Force.
Wow.
And we
you just started that?
We've had it for several years.
Wow. No, I mean, but you two came together and created it.
Yeah, they're the ones that started
37 years, something like
that.
Wow. Yeah, they're human. The parental kidnapping. I just rescued two boys out of Mexico that took me five months to figure out where they were. They were kidnapped in Texas. I found them in Mexico, deep in Mexico, in cartel country. And then it took me 6 months to figure out how to get them out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, everybody's all happy. Oh, great. You found them, man. You know where they are. I said, yeah. I don't know how the hell I'm going to get them out of there.
Yeah.
They're in cartel. They're in the Sinaloa Mountains.
Wow.
And where El Chapo is. Jeez. And then we were up there. We had undercover people up there, and we're roaming around in Sinaloa.
Mm-hmm.
And El Chapo escapes.
Yeah, because I was like, isn't that when El Chapo got out?
Right when El Chapo escaped from prison. So everybody, I mean, cops are everywhere. We're here undercover. You know, now there's 150 other undercover cops there. Everybody's looking for El Chapo. I'm looking for a little kid.
Wow. Yeah.
But everybody's looking at us like you're the strange guys.
Yeah, you're the new ones.
Then we had then he was arrested for like 8 months or 9 months. We're back there again. So, oh, my God, we're back there again. And he
gets out again.
No, he gets popped. He had escaped, and then he gets popped. So we're the new guys in town, and everybody's walking around going, okay, who are
the new guys in town?
Who got him arrested? Oh, it's those guys down there. They're the new guys. And I'm
talking about being the wrong place at the wrong time.
I'm walking around going, no English. Yeah.
That's just your way of getting out.
I don't hear nothing.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, we've gone everywhere. I snuck from Djibouti, Africa, crossed the Red Sea. In a 36-foot boat with four people.
Whoa.
And snuck into Yemen.
Oh my God.
Wearing burqas.
Completely covered.
As women.
So
four
people,
of us.
Oh. Yeah, so
walking up on the sand in Yemen, right next to where the USS Cole got blown up.
Wow. And Yemen is in despair right now.
Oh, Yemen. Everybody carries machine guns like
Yemen's
we carry
crazy.
Briefcases.
Yeah.
Really?
Yemen's very hot. Like hot with.
Yeah, we're lucky we got out there.
Tripwire, yeah.
Yeah, internal stuff.
Very bad.
They have one flight a week in and out.
That's
and
it.
We were trying to get out on a... We had been there for a month and a half, and we would have been killed. One of my guys was already killed.
What year was that? Do you remember?
90...
In the 90s, though.
93, mm-hmm. something like that.
Okay.
I was in Sudan and Yemen. I rescued a four-year-old girl kidnapped in Ethiopia.
Oh my God.
I found her in Sudan, the Sudan desert. And
oh, my God.
I took her from a Bedouin village, a whole village of Bedouiners in the desert. And we escaped up the Nile River with guys on camels carrying swords chasing me on camels. Going,
I thought
I've been transported to the Wild Wild West.
Of course.
Yeah.
But they make that noise.
Of course.
I'm waiting for arrows
to
come slinging by.
Oh,
you know, these guys got machetes, man. They got swords and they're whipping them around. You know,
Oh my God. And what did you have to defend yourself?
I had to get up to the Nile. Well, we had a boat waiting on the Nile. And my partner,
so you get into the boat?
Yeah, my partner said, that goddamn boat better be there, Logan. I said, it'll be there. My guy guaranteed me. Wow. And we got to the top of this cliff looking down to the Nile, and we look down, and there's a guy. There's a boat, a long canoe.
Oh my God! Right,
with one of those poles.
Oh my God! It's like a gondolier.
Like six, yeah, it's like 60 feet long. I swear to God. Mm-hmm. We run and we stop and we look at this, and behind us we can still hear that.
Oh my God.
And the dust, and these guys are coming, right? And we're looking there, and I went, well, it's kind of a boat. It is a boat. Technically, it's a goddamn boat.
It floats. It floats on water.
And this
it's
guy would take the pole, stick it into the Nile, uh-huh. and pull, and
push, my God.
Right? Whoa. And we're there. We get it. We've got the kid. We've got the little girl covered uh-huh. in our arms and everything. And Paul, my British SAS guy, he goes, hey, does the guy have like a higher speed on the thing? Can you pick it up a little, dude?
Yeah, like
hey, Ahmed,
do it a little faster.
Pull that pole.
Yeah,
second
yeah.
gear, dude. Second
oh,
gear.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow.
Put some hot pepper in his ass.
Yes.
And then we're coming around. We're coming around, and this is insane. We're the White Nile and the Blue Nile come together in Khartoum, right?
Okay.
They actually come together, and it forms there's a moat. Where Khartoum is, and they cut. You've got the Blue Nile and the Right Nile coming like this, and then they cut a trench, right,
okay.
on this side of Khartoum. So okay. Khartoum, the Nile River is literally the moat around the city of Khartoum.
Oh, I see.
This is when they had, this is where, when, what was that great movie about the guy?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, Lawrence of Arabia. Yeah, that was all that stuff.
Right.
Anyway, they... We're on the Nile. We're going up the Nile. We're coming around a curve, and we've gotten away from them. And so as we go around this curve, I can hear a faint singing voice.
Is it a gondolier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen to this. Now we've seen we're in the gondolier.
Oh, my God.
Right? And we're going around. We've got these. We know that there's these Bedouins up on camels somewhere. You know, I don't know if they're going to shoot down at us or shoot an arrow. What are they going to do?
Right.
So we're going out, and we're coming around this corner, and I hear in this faint voice, I hear, don't cry for me, Argentina.
What? This story is insane.
We are coming around. We're literally bearing around to the left, coming around to Khartoum. Uh-huh. And there's as we're coming around, I hear this, and it's blasting. This woman, just don't cry for me, Argentina. And it's just getting louder and louder. Uh-huh. And I look, and there's a Coca-Cola sign. That had to have been there since the 40s, right? Probably since Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this huge Coca-Cola sign, half the size of that building out there, and the C in the Coke mm-hmm. is swinging down. It's only got one nail in it.
Yeah.
And it's swinging down. There's a guy underneath the billboard on the Nile River uh-huh. with the biggest boombox I've ever seen. And he's sitting, squatting next to this boombox, and he's playing...
Evita.
This whole thing. And we're cruising around the corner, and I look, and there's white. I have film of this. I have video of this. We started videoing. White seagulls are coming, flying over the Nile. And, I'm hearing this, don't drive.
This is
me.
Insane.
Yeah, it was. I
that
said
is
this. They probably killed me 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. This
and
is
I'm like someplace else. Right? This is not happening.
It sounds like a dream, like a bad dream. And then a raisin came out and lassoed me to a tree. It sounds like that. You know what I mean? It's like in a crazy kind of sound.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, but that's your life.
Unbelievable.
What a life, man. Some adventures you've been through, man.
God.
And obviously, I think, did you say you want to put it in a book?
You have to make a movie, right?
Did you remember The Fighter? Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
the
yes,
Fighter.
Yes.
Okay, well, the guys who wrote The Fighter and were nominated for an Academy Award, Paul Tomasi and Eric Johnson and Richard Shepard, have all three worked for 14 months, over a year, writing a screenplay about, and it says this film is based on the real-life adventures and misadventures of Private Detective Logan Clark.
What? Wow. Paul Tomasi. I love that.
Right.
Yeah.
And does he have... he has the coolest name, too, you know, like Logan Clark.
Yeah, it couldn't...
You know?
Yeah. It's like, you know what it's like? Joe Montana. That guy has the best name in the whole wide world.
Yeah, he does.
That's the best name I could think of. It's just like Logan Clark. Great name, man.
We almost did it on Sony. We almost had a TV series on Sony with Pierce Brosnan.
Really?
Pierce Brosnan was going to play my mentor. And
Pierce is
that will be cool.
And he's always so smooth.
Oh,
he's my favorite. One of my favorite Bonds.
Yeah.
Brosnan,
oh, yeah.
One of my absolute
favorites. The series.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I agree. He was one of the best. I think, I would say, what, the third after Sean Connery and maybe Roger Moore?
I don't know. I don't love Roger Moore.
I know you didn't, but you
I
know
like
what?
I like up, Sean.
Yeah.
You, it's who you grew up with. You're right.
I grew up with Roger Moore.
I grew up with Pierce Brosnan.
Right.
God damn. That
but that's why for me, he's number three
I
and
see.
Not number two.
I
but,
see.
But he definitely looks like a James Bond.
He's the closest to what I picture
right?
Ian Fleming would think is James Bond.
Right.
Or for our time.
For sure. And then Daniel Craig was like, whatever.
Right.
That's
I'm
a whole new twist.
Totally new twist.
Yeah. And Daniel Craig is, I totally have not been able to connect to these films. I don't know why.
I liked the first one he did was great. I didn't like
you
Spectre
like
at all,
one?
But yeah, the first one was great. First two were good, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're passing it along. He doesn't really enjoy playing Bond.
No, he doesn't.
He hates it.
He said he'll never do another.
Yeah, he hates it.
Good.
Yeah.
Get somebody else. It looks like he doesn't like
it. We need some new blood.
Yeah.
Definitely a new character.
Yeah, so that's good. That's amazing of your story. And do you have kids? Are you married?
I have one daughter, Darnell. She lives in Tennessee.
Is she just like you, adventurous, thrill
slut? She worked as a detective for a long time. From the time she was 12 years old, I would have her do car washes. Ooh. I would say, honey, we're going to go down here, and we're gonna, on this corner, we're going to do a car wash. And I would show her the car that we knew this guy went to the car wash, you know. And if he saw kids,
he wouldn't think
you know,
anything.
Having a and he would pull in there. And I said, when you get this guy's car, I drove her by the house. She knew the car. When you get inside, you make sure that you clean the inside of the car. When you get inside there and they're soaping the outside and no one can see you, you open up the glove compartment.
I'm like dying over here. I wish I had been Darnell.
Yeah.
I live for this.
She loved it. She loved it, man.
I read only murder mystery
and
novels.
And she put together,
detective novels.
She pieced together a shredded document. We taught her how to do it with a pair of tweezers and like flypaper.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And she
can take it from the trash and then put it together.
It had been cut into hundreds of pieces, and I had her working on this one for probably a week. Trying to put
like a puzzle
piece back together. And she put it together, and it gave us an address
on
the longest kidnapping case we had been looking for. We were looking in the wrong country. And
really?
And she put it back together, and I saw the city postmark on the thing.
It was the wrong place.
And I knew the city. I knew it was 12,000 miles
from where we were looking. Wow.
Wow.
God, do you always have just the Indiana Jones theme song playing wherever you go?
Yeah.
Like, dun-dun-dun-dun, I'm going to the bathroom. You can stop.
Now she's in Tennessee, and she runs 31. She's like the right hand of the CEO.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. 30,
they have chiropractic offices and wellness centers. And
wow.
But I sent her undercover just about 2 months ago.
Wow.
And I said, look, I really need you to go undercover in a case. And she went undercover into a program that you can't get into. You can't just walk
in.
You have to have something wrong with
whatever. Sure.
And we knew the business. My daughter had actually worked, and we just slid her in there.
Wow. Has she taken acting classes, or she's just...
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say.
She actually loves acting.
Okay, because you have to sort of be an actor if you're undercover.
The three biggest qualifications for a private eye is salesmanship, psychology, and acting.
Wow.
If you have those three, salesmanship, psychology, and acting...
I should be a detective.
You potentially can not be a good detective. You can be a great detective.
Wow.
Sam!
I think
I'm figuring some things out.
Right.
I have always had an interest in this, and I only read mystery, you know, detective novels. Yep. I'm just fascinated
by it. I was an actor for years. I co-starred in Hawaii Five-0, Hill Street Blues, LA Law.
So you really knew how to do it.
Yeah. And the only difference between acting and what I do now... is what I do now, there's no take two.
Yeah.
If I fuck up, I die.
Yeah.
That's true, right? Yeah.
Nobody goes, let's try this all over. All
reset.
The dead bodies, get up.
Yeah.
Right, let's rub the blood off and we'll try this one more time. There ain't no take two.
Yeah.
When the blood's on you, it's real.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to negotiate?
Yeah, with my Glock.
Wow.
It's a great negotiator.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Hardcore answer.
Exactly.
Nice.
Well, for those of you just joining us, it is the end of the show, but we are talking to Indiana Jones here. and his name is Logan Clark.
Yes! Do we have to pay for this? I'm so excited. Oh, that's so him. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so
that's my phone ring. That's my ringtone.
Really? I've done 500 interviews. That's a first. I love it.
Yeah, good job, Sam.
Yeah, well, we do anything here, you know. But we do have to go because Logan needs to prepare for the next show right after us, Answers for the Family. Please stay tuned. He's got amazing stories. Are you guys going to talk more about Casey Kasem?
Yeah, we're going to talk. Yeah,
that's
talk
awesome. So you guys got a preview of what it's going to be like. And Alan Cardoza is always pleasant to speak to.
Fascinating. I'm a fan.
Yes.
Geeking out.
Yes. Logan Clark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Logan.
Thank you for inviting me.
Please continue doing great things for everybody. We didn't even touch on all the kids that you brought along and stuff. I was wondering what that girl was thinking in the canoe.
That's what I was thinking.
When they heard the Evita song.
Yeah.
Just really glad. You know what? She just graduated a year and a half ago, she graduated, that little four-year-old, graduated from high school in Washington, D.C.
That's where I'm from.
Her mom works for the embassy, and I was working for the government of Germany. But anyway, she graduated from high school, and her mom sent me a picture of her at the graduation.
Isn't that fascinating?
I get Christmas cards from families, and they say, we are all sitting around the tree. And
thinking of you.
This would not be happening.
I get goosebumps thinking
too.
About that.
How fabulous.
Yeah, Logan, thank goodness for people like you in the world, man.
Seriously, bless
all
you.
All the best to you. Tori, thank you.
Anytime.
I also want to ask God to please help me deal with our situation. And we'll see. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.